nothing new under the sun. But the Bible says in verse number 6, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse number 7, it says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. And I want to preach just for a little while this morning on this very familiar text. And we understand just by the way of introduction this morning what's going on in the book of Daniel. Everybody in here should be familiar with this book. If you're not, read through it and read it again. It's probably one of the richest books throughout the Bible. And if we turn to a different book tomorrow, I'd probably say the same thing about it. How? Because I like them all. And every time I read something, I say, that's my favorite. How? But I tell you, I love the Word of God this morning. But Daniel, we find ourselves in a setting in the Word of God this morning where God's people are being judged. God has put these people in captivity. He has allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to come in and besiege Jerusalem and bring them into captivity. Now remember where these people are coming from. How they're people like you and I. They're the people of God, the nation of Israel. How they come from Jerusalem. They've been in the place where they worship God. A lot of them were in idolatry. A lot of them were in idol worship and those things. But they were still a remnant that was serving God back in Jerusalem. Yet they are being brought into captivity. All of these people are being brought together and being judged by God. And God is using a worldly man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Now this morning we could say that Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. How we could say he's just like Satan himself. He seeks to destroy the people of God. He seeks how to go after God's people. How to do them harm. He wants to overthrow the kingdom of God. That's what Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is trying to rise above. He's trying to build his own kingdom. He's trying to set himself on his own throne. How he's trying to make himself how the king of all the living world. Doesn't that sound like the devil this morning? Hey, doesn't that sound like Satan himself this morning? Hey, he wants to overthrow God. He's tried to do it from the beginning of time. How in the Garden of Eden, how the devil wanted to get above God, set his throne above God. We understand the context of what's going on in the book of Daniel. But I want to look here just for a few minutes. I want to show you about four things. And Lord willing, I'll give you a couple of points this morning in this passage of Scripture. But I'm interested, very interested in this morning, what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do with these young people. We see in verse number 3 where he goes in and he takes some certain young men. Now, let us remember this is not the only young men that were brought into captivity. How there were thousands of them just like these, but they were specifically after a certain group of young men. Now, I'm interested in what Nebuchadnezzar's plan was. How what his whole idea of besieging the city and taking these young men and trying to do some things in their life. He was trying to change them for a specific purpose. We see in verse number 3, I'm going to notice this. How Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, of the princes. He said, children in whom was no blemish, they were well favored, they were skillful in wisdom, they were cunning in knowledge and understanding science. How these wasn't just your average run-of-the-mill type young people, these were the best of them. You know what I believe the devil wants today? He wants the best of them. Hey, he wants our young married families, with young kids. He wants them. He wants to destroy the marriage. He wants to destroy the home. He wants to get the kids sidetracked on sports. He wants to get them sidetracked on worldly music and pull them out of the church house. That's what he wants to do. So we see that he wants the best of them. Can I say that this morning and be all right? Hey, the God's people. Hey, God's people is the best of them this morning. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar wanted the best. He wanted the best he could find. Those without spot. Those without blemish. How those that were well favored. God's people this morning are well favored by God. Hey, I'm telling you, they're without spot and blemish. I'm not saying that we're sinless this morning. Hey, but I'm telling you, God, hey, through Jesus Christ has washed us in the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We're spotless this morning before Amen. God. He wanted the best of them this morning. So what did he want to do? First of all, I want to see this. He wanted to change their language. He wanted to change their language. He said in the latter part of verse number 4, he says that they might teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So these young people are brought from a foreign land. How that they don't know the language in this land. How they don't know the people. They don't know the culture. But yet there's somebody that is wanting to change their language. That's how we communicate our language. If we went to a foreign country, how we wouldn't understand what they're talking about either. It's a language barrier. Their culture's different. He wanted to change it for a purpose.
Right.
Not only did he want to change their language, but he also wanted to change their learning. Said he might teach them the learning of the Chaldeans. Our learning is our books. It's our past. It's our history. Hey, that's how we remember the past. What is written down. Hey, did you know today, friend, that our colleges and our schools in America today are changing history?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they're changing history. Our young people today that are growing up, those that are going off to college, they're getting a different history lesson than what we got when we were in school. Hey, our young people are going to college and they're coming out how they're going to college on fire for God, and they're coming out headed toward the world. They want to change their learning. What they can relate to the past. Not only do they want to change their learning, but they want to change their philosophy. What is philosophy this morning? Hey, philosophy is simply this. It's how we view or understand truth this morning. Hey, it's how we view it. It's how we understand it. He wants to change the philosophy.
Yep.
What do I mean by that? Well, I'll say it like this. Think on the subject of abortion. Hey, if I was to ask everybody in here this morning, would you raise your hand if you're against abortion? I believe everybody in the building this morning would raise their hand. They're against abortion. But the problem is this morning is our humanism, should I say.
Come on.
That's how we view and understand our truth. Humanism has crept into our independent Baptist churches. And our thinking has been changed. So if I was to ask the question this morning, well, what about in the life of the mother? Hey, is it still okay? Is it okay then to abort the baby? Now we're in the life of the mother. But wait a minute, didn't God already tell us in His Word? See how simple and how subtle humanism, how that philosophy of the world will creep into our own minds. Hey, I'm telling you today, friend, hey, there's a world system that is designed to change your mind. He wanted to change their language, how they talked. Hey, people talk different than they used to. People talk different than they used to. Hey, we think different than we used to. Even us sitting here today. Believe it or not, that we are slowly being changed. As much as we want to hold on to God's Word, there's something about being flesh in this world that will get a hold of you slowly by slowly. Hey, there's a change. He wanted to change their philosophy. But he also wanted to change their love. If you went to chapter number 3, we understand the story of the image that was set forth. And they said there was a decree that was set that at the sound of all the music, that everybody would bow down to an image.
Right.
See, he wanted to change their love. He wanted to change everything about them.
Right.
I'm afraid in America today, our love for the world is growing.
Come on.
Our love for the things of the world.
Come on.
The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Right.
He said, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Right.
I'm telling you today, friend, our love for the world. Hey, we spend more time on the job. We spend more time down at the ball fields. We spend more time doing the things that we enjoy than we do at the house of God. Our love is being changed this morning. Not only that, in verse number 6, he changed their names. He said he gave them new names in verse number 6 and verse number 7. What in the world is Nebuchadnezzar trying to do? He's changing their identity.
Right.
He's changing everything about them. He's creating a new people, a new culture. He's changing these young people for a purpose. He has a great mastermind plan that he has set in motion, that has been set in motion. Can I tell you this morning how that the devil has set a plan in motion, hey, from the beginning of time, hey, to destroy the people of God, hey, to change our culture, hey, to change our thinking, hey, to change our families, hey, to change that God-ordained system of a family, of a husband and wife. How now we have a world where we say it's okay if you marry a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Hey, we've got the wrong idea. Though we may say we're against it here this morning, sometimes we say, well, if that's what they want to do.
Come on.
If that's what they want to do. Hey, but there's got to be a time where we stand up.
Amen.
Where we stand up and say something about it.
Come on.
I don't know you or the church this morning, but I tell you, I know God. I know God this morning.
Right.
He'd have me to preach this message. Oh, that we'd stand strong in an ever-changing day. So I'm interested in this one thought this morning. This one thought. How in the world was Daniel able to stand when everybody else around him was changing? How was he able to stand? Now, we're not talking about a little pressure. Now, young people, I want you to hear me well. There's a lot of pressure. Young people are living in the fastest changing society of all time. You have to deal with things, young people, that we never had to deal with. Hey, you had to deal with things, young adults, how young moms and young dads have to deal with things today that we never thought we'd have to face.
Right.
Never thought we'd have to face. An ever-changing world. How was Daniel able to stand? He had pressure from without. What do I mean by that? Well, think about the king. I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar had more power than anybody in the free world. Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful man. And he put these boys through school and he wanted them changed.
Right.
How in the world was he able to stand against such pressure? Hey, in a day and age when our churches are pressured to change. How they want us to change our music. How they want us to change our dress. How they want us to change our Bible. How they want us to change the way we worship. How the way we praise God. They want to change the places we go.
Right.
We want to go to the house of God. We want to see the things of God and fulfill the things of God. Hey, they want us to change. There's that pressure from without. Hey, society in itself wants us to change. There's that pressure from without. There's pressures from within. I know you pastors, you preachers and pastor, there's that pressure from within. Sometimes that the devil will slide in the pew or slide up beside you and say, well, you know, you could probably knock the walls out of this church. You got a good crowd, but we could probably double it if we just ease up on some things. Hey, if we'd change the word of God, or if we would, maybe if we'd preach a little easier, maybe if we'd change the song service, maybe we could fill it up. Maybe we could knock the walls out this morning. But I'm telling you, there's pressures from within, there's pressures from without. Hey, there's pressures to change. How did he stand? I'm going to give you just a few things here this morning and I'll be through. Just quickly, I want to give you these three, and the last one I want to spend just a little bit of time on. First of all, what was he able to do? How in the world could he stand? He said in verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Hey, there was something that happened in his heart. And I know this verse had been preached so much. But I'd like to take just a moment and let us slow down and look at it. He purposed in his heart that he would not, that he would not, that he would not. Now, I think about this, and when I read this verse so many times in days gone by, I've read it, and I thought, man, he was faced with a temptation, and here's where he made a decision. I don't believe that's it. I believe there was a time long ago that Daniel made a decision in his heart. Hey, it wasn't this moment. Hey, it's not when we're up against that temptation. Hey, it's not when we're up against that trial that we'll be able to make that hard decision. That's when we're going to be most vulnerable. Hey, that's when we're going to be at our weakest. It's long ago. I think about Daniel. He no doubt had a mom and dad that loved him. He no doubt probably had grandparents that brought him up in the house of God. And he heard them pray. How there's no doubt that these boys were brought up around the things of God and the Word of God. How we see it evident in their life. There was a time in their lives where they spent time in prayer. Hey, where they read the Word of God, and they were read the Word of God as a child. These boys were just teenagers. Just teenagers. Boy, if we turned our teenagers loose in a situation like this, how would they fare? But they had a mom and dad, no doubt, that spent time in an altar.
Yes,
hey, spent time in prayer. Spent time in family altar. Hey, putting something in them that would last.
Amen.
First of all, I want to see how he was able to stand. Verse number 3, the Bible says, certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. I believe these young men were saved. Hey, if you're ever going to be able to stand in this world, hey, if you're ever going to be able to face anything that comes at you in this world, you're going to have to be saved. They said they were of the king's seed. I understand he's talking about a royal seed. Hey, but I'm telling you today, friend, hey, we're of a royal seed. Hey, those of us that are born again, hey, been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been born again. Not a corruptible seed,
Amen.
But incorruptible by the will of
Amen.
God, hey, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that I'm saved.
Amen.
This world has no hope, those that are lost,
right,
outside of Jesus Christ. Hey, we live in a world that's full of turmoil and trouble. Hey, and they're at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. Sometimes we want to look at the world and say, I can't believe they're doing what they're doing. I'm telling you, if we were in their condition, with no hope, we would probably do some pretty foolish things too. I remember a day, I got saved when I was 20 years old. And I remember a day, friend, where I'd done a lot of foolish things. I'm telling you, I should have been in hell. But thank God that I'm saved this morning. I remember my nephew at 18 years old went in his bedroom on his 18th birthday and put a rope around his neck and hung himself in his bedroom. My brother comes home and has to cut him down. He left letter after letter behind. You know what he said? He said, this world is too much for me to handle. There were probably 150 letters. He said, the demons of this world, I cannot bear them. Can I tell you today, friend, that's what a world without hope. Hey, these boys had hope. Hey, they were saved this morning. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, that we're saved.
Amen.
He was of the royal seed this morning. Not only was he of the royal seed, the Bible says that they were without blemish. They were spotless. Hey, they were separate from the world. Can I say something to the mom and dads in here this morning? Hey, when you have little kids that are coming up, how you're raising those kids, how they don't understand that relationship between themselves and God yet. I'm telling you, you pretty much play that God in their lives. You give them that direction and lead them toward Him. If our kids are going to be spotless,
right,
it's going to be mom and dad that's going to help them get there.
Right.
Hey, we can't leave our kids to themselves and expect them to turn out right. Hey, we can't sit our teenagers, our kids, our little children in front of a television and expect them to turn out right. It's just not going to happen this morning. Hey, if we're going to have good godly kids, it's going to take some works from mom and dad. Spending time in an altar. Spending time praying for these kids, taking them to meetings and giving them to the house of God. They were separate from the world. They were without blemish. The Bible says they were skillful. They were skillful in wisdom and knowledge. Hey, they knew God personally. They were able to pray for themselves and get a word from God. I'm telling you today, friend, we live in a generation, and brother, you can attest to this, we live in a generation. Hey, this church is not the norm.
Come on, brother.
Most of you, I don't know, you may know what you have here, but I promise you, you've got something really special. Hey, from the first time they struck a chord, you could get my wife up here today. You've got something special here. Hey, don't let it die. Hey, don't let it go. Hey, don't let it go to the world. You've got something special here. This ain't the norm, friend. We go all over the United States in church after church after church with just a handful of people which have no wisdom, which have no direction.
Come on, brother.
You've got something special here.
Bless you, Lord.
But I want to notice here in verse number 8, where I really want to just spend just a few minutes this morning, and I'll be through. The Bible says in verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know what Daniel did? It was a matter of the heart. He did something early on in his life. He gave his heart to Christ.
Amen.
He was saved. He was separated.
Mom.
His mom and dad's instruction in his life, his own personal fellowship and relationship with Christ.
Right.
He was separated. He settled something in his heart long ago.
Amen.
Maybe this morning there's some that has not done that yet. Maybe this morning you get on an altar and say, God, I give you my all. I give you everything. My wife and I married at a young age, and I'd just gotten saved, a new Christian. I hadn't grown at all. My wife thought she was saved. She thought she made a profession at 7, thought she was saved. It wasn't until she was 27 that she really got saved. But I want to say this. When God began to do that work in my heart of separation, when I finally got on an altar and said, God, you can have all of me. I've been saved for 5 years, and God, you can have all of me. And God started clearing those things out of my life, changing my direction, putting new things in. I'm telling you, you know what happened? Hey, it tore my wife out of the frame. She'll tell you, for the next two years, conviction set in on her like never before. She was in turmoil. She didn't understand. Once we lived very similar, you know, to each other, we did the same things. But I tell you, it's when you surrender your life to God, hey, God will do a work in you.
Amen.
And others around it will see a difference.
Amen.
Daniel purposed in his heart, the Bible says, that he would not defile himself.
Amen.
You know what he did? He drew a line of resistance. A line of resistance. What do I mean by that this morning? What was the whole thing about that Daniel was talking about? It was the meat and the drink. Now you think about this morning. Something so simple as food and drink. Why in the world would it be worth putting up such a fight? Why? It's just food and drink. Surely that would be okay if we just went Just a little to the left. Just a little to the left. But Daniel said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He done something in here. He drew that line of resistance. And I believe this, what he was trying to do. I want you to get a hold of this morning. I'm slowing down on purpose. He was guarding his heart.
Yes, sir.
He was guarding it. He was putting up a barrier. Just like there's a barrier, this banister here this morning. Hey, there was a place that Daniel said, I will not pass.
Amen.
He put that in his heart this morning. He put it in a place that nobody could change it. He didn't put it in his mind this morning. Hey, I'm telling you this morning, you know why the Bible says train up a child. Hey, there's something different in teaching a child and training a child. That verse don't talk about teaching. That verse talks about training.
Right.
Anybody's ever been in military, you know there's a training process that takes place. They go beyond the mind.
Yeah.
There's a training process. Hey, that means to give everything you got, how to raise up a child, how that he will go with God.
Amen.
I believe that's possible this morning.
Amen.
I believe that's possible to raise godly kids.
Oh, yeah.
Even in this day and age.
Amen.
Hey, if we're willing to sacrifice them, mom and dads. Hey, if we're willing sometimes that we'd even have to change jobs for the welfare of our children. Hey, we may even have to change states for the welfare of our own children. But we had trained them. Daniel put up that barrier in his life because he was guarding his heart. Listen to this. He did not want to develop an appetite for the things of the world. He didn't want to develop that appetite.
Come on.
I'm telling you, if I would have never had a Reese cup in my life, I probably would not eat one today, or as many. But I started as a young age. And I fell in love with Reese Cups. I developed such an appetite that my wife and my mother-in-law would buy them for me for Christmas. You know, Costco, Sam's, the big boxes. And within a couple of days, I would have them gone. Why? Because there was such an appetite. Such an appetite. So what Daniel's trying to do. He don't want to develop that appetite for the things of the world. He said, I don't want to hear that music. He said, I don't want to taste that food. Hey, you know, it had to be the best food, the prime rib. Hey, the T-bone steak. It was the best of the best. But he said, I don't even want to taste it. Because I'm afraid there's going to be an appetite that rises up in me. Hey, that's going to be a constant pull. Hey, the rest of my life. Hey, that could cause me to be a casualty in the work of God. You know, this morning I remember my boys when they were real little. We set them in front of a television until God showed us otherwise. We used them as a babysitter. I guess every good Baptist does that while they clean the house and wash clothes. But I went through the living room on a Saturday morning. The boys were sitting there. And I just glanced over and looked at a little show they was watching. It was a show called Phineas and Ferb. And I'll never forget this day. I looked in the background and there was a picture hanging on the wall. And the Holy Ghost of God said, look. Look. There was a picture with three images. It was a monkey. It was a half man, half monkey. And it was a man. And the Holy Ghost of God said, they're teaching your children evolution in your own home and you don't even know it. Well, that's real simple. Surely it's just a little small cute cartoon. That's harmless, right? No, friend, it's not harmless. Why are we in the condition we're in America? Why is our young adults? Hey, I'm not picking on you young adults, but we all understand where we're at in America today. It's a mess. It's a mess. Our churches are dwindling. We have hardly any young people in our pews across America today. You're blessed here. But there's a change taking place. And it's because there's an appetite that is developed in the heart of God's people that's pulling us away. We find the nation of Israel, they found themselves in adultery. And they found themselves being judged by God. And if we're not real careful this morning, we'll find ourselves in that same situation being judged by God. Being judged by God because of our own desires. Hey, James said it. He said we're drawn away of our own lust. It's our own lust that pull us away. Hey, it's our own desires. Hey, it's what's in us. It's what lies within us that pulls us away from the house of God. It's what causes us to miss Wednesday night prayer meeting. Hey, it's what causes us to miss a Saturday morning or Thursday night visitation. Hey, it's what causes us not to pray for the man of God. Hey, it's what causes us not to get on our knees and pray for lost people. That's what does it. He not want to develop an appetite in his own heart this morning. I want to think about this word, desensitize this morning. You think about a horse this morning. They say you can take a plastic bag and they're terrified. A new horse is terrified of a plastic bag. They say you can put that bag behind your back and pet that horse until he gets used to it. Make a little sound with it. Then you can show it to him. And eventually you can rub his face with it and he's completely fine with it. Well, that's what's going on in America today. Hey, we're being desensitized. Hey, with a plan. Hey, that Satan has to pull us away from God this morning.
Right.
He was guarding his own heart this morning. Why? Why? He didn't want to defile himself. He didn't want to find himself in the place that the rest of the nation of Israel was in. He was protecting his own heart this morning. Hey, if we're going to be able to stand in a day where everybody wants us to change, first, we're going to have to be saved this morning. We'll have to be separated. We're going to have to get on an altar and surrender our lives to God. Hey, we're going to have to... Hey, there may be some middle-aged families here that's never surrendered their life to God. You're going to have to get on an altar and say, God, I know the days that lie ahead can be scary, but God, I'm willing to trust you and give you my whole life. Hey, you can stand this morning in a world that's upside down, that's ever-changing.
Yes, sir.
What was the master plan? What was Nebuchadnezzar trying to do? I believe this morning. I believe if he thought that if he could get these young boys and change them, that he could change the rest of them. Hey, they were more than these boys. But he knew that they would have a great influence. Why? Because they come from a royal seed. You want me to tell you today, friend, Christians, because we come from a royal seed, we have a testimony with the rest of the world. We've got a testimony with the rest of the world. What you do in your day-to-day life impacts everybody around you. It impacts your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your children. It impacts those on the job. It impacts those down at the grocery store. Everybody around you. During this crisis this morning, I'm thankful for those that come out. During this crisis that we have in our country today, your neighbor's seen you get up with a suit on. Dads, hey, moms, you got up and put a dress on this morning. You tucked your Bible under your arm. You got in your car. And you come to the house of God. Hey, but you know what? That showed as a witness to the world how that they trust God.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be, a witness to the world.
Amen.
We're to be a city on a hill. I'm telling you, we're to be to the light of the world.
Amen.
The light of the world. Nebuchadnezzar knew. He said, he knew in his heart if he could change these boys, they would change the rest of them. We know the rest of the story this morning. I'll not go in detail on it, but I'll briefly say these boys didn't get changed this morning. They didn't get changed. We find in chapter number 3, they wanted them to bow. They ended up in a furnace, and God saved them out of the fire. Not even smelling like smoke. I can't sit around a campfire without smelling like smoke. These boys never even had the smell of smoke on them. They didn't change. Nebuchadnezzar said there's no other God but their God. Darius, there was a decree that was put out that they would nobody pray in any other name. We find Daniel, the man of God that he is, said, "I'm, you know what, I'm going to pray anyway. Hey, I'm going to pray anyway." I believe Daniel marched up to his room. I believe he flung the windows open toward Jerusalem for all the world to see. And he prayed as he had done aforetime. You know what he was doing? He was making a public statement. He said, "I'm going with God. I'm going with God. Hey, your actions tell how what you will do. You go with God. People will see it. They'll see it." King Darius, he said, "There's no other God but Daniel's God. Hey, nobody's going to worship any other God but Daniel's God." In chapter number 6. Why is that? Because there were some that were willing to stand. Now I want you to think about the brevity of this. Sometimes we read these stories and we think about them and we just let them pass through. But think about an entire nation. That has been changed because of these men.
Thank you, Lord.
An entire nation has been changed because of these young men.
Right.
An entire nation. I know this was over a great period of time, but they changed the world. They changed the course of history. Hey, they changed the world leaders. Now, I believe this morning. I believe there's enough people sitting in this church this morning. As Paul said, or they said about Paul, these are those that turn the world upside down. There's enough people in here this morning to turn the world upside down for Christ. Turn the world upside down. Hey, if we're willing to get on an altar, sell out to God this morning. Give God your all. Hey, if you're not saved, it'll be the best thing you've ever done.
Yes, sir.
I was headed to hell. Drugs, alcohol, crazy life. I should have been dead by the age of 30. Boy, I tell you, God came from where I was at. He changed my life. I'm 38 now. I'm thankful for it. Never seen in a million years what God could do with me. Never seen it. Never seen the family that He'd give me. Hey, never seen the change He'd make in my life. Hey, if you're not saved this morning, all you ought to get saved. You say, I'm a member of the church. It doesn't matter how the change that will come in your life. My wife sat on a church pew for 27 years. But when she got saved, she'll tell you what a difference Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes. Oh, would you come this morning? Would you come and be saved? Oh, would you come and surrender? Hey, would you take a stand for God this morning? You know what I found out? If you're willing to take a stand with God, God's willing to stand with you.
Amen.
If you're willing to stand with Him, He'll stand with you.
Amen.
Hey, He never left these boys.
Right.
They found themselves in a fiery furnace that was heated 10 times hotter. Found themselves in a lion's den and so many other places. And God never forsook them. Never forsook them. How are we going to be able to stand? We're going to have to guard our heart this morning.
Amen.
We're going to have to surrender all to God this morning. You're going to have to be saved. Brother, thank you. God bless you.
Folks, as we stand on the